Welcome to our pre-show. Here it is, Wednesday. And let's do it, man. Let's do it. We're probably going to have on this on the show today another fill-only, because I'm just getting out of this pretty significant cold. It was a whole new experience in having colds for me, because I got this conjunctivitis. But I think you guys, if you're looking at Phil TV, you can see, you know, things have kind of cleared up a little bit. I mean, more than a little bit, I think. But it was touch and go there for a while, man, because it was just a whole new thing. I never had pink eye, per se. I didn't think I did. Maybe I had it, and I didn't know it. You know, I used to think something like that was an allergy. I'm also going to do a giveaway today. And it's going to be for new subscribers, unfortunately. Not for you guys. For new subscribers, I'm going to give away some sweatshirts. We've got 8. I'll have something for you BSPs. But I got to do what I got to do, you know. Because we only have 8 left, and I want to maximize the potentiality, you know. Then the other thing I'm going to do here is... I'm going to make some notes is what I'm going to do. I just updated their... what did I do here? Not updated, but installed some updates, yeah, from Apple. God damn it. Still got a fucking little bit of a sore throat. There's a fucking thing in New York today, or yesterday, rather, that... It's obviously it's Tuesday, and I'm trying to get into the Wednesday mindset. I just read, didn't read the whole book, but I've started reading the book Midnight Cowboy. Yes, it's the book that the movie is based on, and it was a book. It was a novel. It was written in 1965 by a guy named Joe Herlihy, I think. Got the name wrong, I apologize. And it's brutal. It's fucking brutal. The movie only touches on part of what the book deals with. The book spends a great deal of time in Texas and this guy's whole background, the army, living in Texas, the abject poverty and lack of family that he grew up in. This guy, Joe Buck, in the movie, you know, he's a dumbass, played by John Voight. In the fucking book, he's more than dumb. He's almost unbelievably stupid. He doesn't know how to talk to people, even. He's completely lost when it comes to human relating. and he goes through a series of brutal experiences in Texas, which I won't give away in case you're thinking of reading the book, and then decides there's nothing but fags up in New York, so he's going to go up to New York dressed like a fucking cowboy stud and get paid to fuck all these women who he thinks are sex-starved because there's only fags up there. That's his mind. You know, this is what he's thinking, and excuse the use of the word. This is the book, Midnight Cowboy. I don't know. I'm not even sure I recommend you read it, because I don't really know why you'd want to read it. I read it because I was surprised to see... I thought it was an original script. I don't know what I thought. The Midnight Cowboy, the film I'm talking about, is a significant movie for my generation. For a lot of you younger people, you don't know it. Although, I will tell you, I've sat and watched it with people 30, 40 years younger than me. And they've been, like, blown away. You know, I didn't even know this fucking movie existed. You know, this is, it's insane. it's a significant film for my generation, because I guess it was the coming out of Dustin Hoffman and John Voight. First time we ever saw them. It was very dramatic and extremely provocative. For the very first time on the big screen, we're looking at, you know, the world of a gay hustling in Times Square, New York, at night, you know, with every kind of freak that you could imagine. And one of them is Ratso Rizzo, this character played by Dustin Hoffman, and Joe Buck is the guy who we are seeing this film through. We're seeing the movie, we're seeing the circumstances through his eyes. And he ain't much. He's a moron. He's come to New York on this premise that is absolutely a fucking bust. It's a failure coming out of the gate. I'm going to have these women. As soon as he gets to New York, he gets hustled by all these chicks who are actually prostitutes themselves, you know. One of them played by an actress named Sylvia Miles is really great. All kinds of really cool cameos and shit. I got to thinking about this movie. I said, what is this film based on, man? This wasn't an original screenplay, was it? The fuck is this thing? So I Googled it. Sure enough, it's a novel. This guy, Joe Hurley, I don't have the name. You can look it up. It was a book. 1965. So I bought it online. You know, I got a Kindle version of it and started reading it. And I was like, holy shit, this is tough reading. This is tough, you know. But I'll press on. Whew, man. Talk about a fucking recipe for every kind of cold and flu and everything else. Goddamn hotter than fuck. I'm almost through this. And, you know, one of the ways that I figure that I'm almost through it is by doing the Margaret voice. And you can hear it's not good. So no fucking way am I going to try and do a show tonight. Not but do a regular show tonight. So today I did two things that I was capable of doing. I got out of bed. I was knocked out, man. I was like, I didn't have... Yesterday afternoon, I was in the worst shape I could possibly be in. And I was drinking gallons of fucking water because I had a fever. Then last night, my fever broke, as they say. I started to sweat. And fever went away, and I started to feel a lot better. And I went out to my favorite Chinese joint, and I got hot and sour soup, which I love, and is a great... it's kind of my chicken noodle soup, you know. I got that, and I was on the mend. But then today, I had energy for two things. I had to go to the bank and do some banking, and then I went... I thought I was going to be able to find hot and sour soup in the supermarket, right? Somewhere. I went to Trader Joe's, figuring Trader Joe's going to have it. Nope. The closest they had was miso soup. So I took this shit home and I put a bunch of cayenne pepper in it. That's my go-to hot and sour soup. Now, if these guys, Manafort and Gates, are taken into custody, then released, they're under house arrest, does that mean an ankle bracelet? Is that what we're talking about? And, oh no, personal recognizance. A $10 million fucking bond, though, on these cats. They have to report daily. They cannot apply for a passport. They're on permanent home confinement. Allowed to, with counsel, attend religious services or attend any medical emergencies. You were to report daily by phone. So that's ankle bracelet time, isn't it? Home confinement. The other thing you know they're doing, without question, they got their goddamn cell phones just dialed right in. They got taps. Released a PSA high-intensity supervision. High-intensity supervision program. Home confinement. Right. And what a fucking bond they put on these cats. $10 million? But you know they got their goddamn cell phones just wired right in. Just dialed in, man. These guys try to make any kind of fucking move. Any cell phone. Any phone. Any communication coming out of either one of those houses... The feds are going to have ears all over that shit. There was any chance. I don't think there's no chance in hell that these dudes are able to get a message out or get a message in or tell the president, you know, they're putting the screws to us. Because you know that they're going to put the screws to them. Huge. Fucking huge. And every day, There's no question in my mind, every day a van will pull up. You're wanted to for questioning. Holy Christ. Yeah. Get your attorney. Yeah, he's going to be here. Don't fucking worry about it. And that's when they're going to put the pressure on for them to, as they say on TV and now in real life, or maybe they said it in real life and then they said it on TV, but a word everybody knows, flip. They'll flip them. Get them to spill what they know. And what do they want them to spill? What does Trump know? What has Trump been doing? That's Manafort and that's this other asshole Gates. I don't know what Gates knows, but Manafort would know of something, at least during that period that he worked for him. And that'll be every day, every fucking day, until they realize, okay, it's pointless or whatever, you know. We're going to make you, and, you know, you think you're not going to go to jail? You're going to go to fucking jail. You're going to do jail time. You're going to go to jail, and we'll make it really the toughest fucking time we can possibly find for you. You know, you'll do Bernie Madoff time, you know, which is, that ain't exactly, I don't think that's minimum security, is it? It's like medium security or something. You'll be in a fucking work shirt, jeans. You'll be dumping garbage, you know. And we'll get as much fucking time as we can. We'll just, you're going to spend time in jail, man. Now, is Donald Trump worth that? I don't know, Manafort. I don't know what your relationship with this motherfucker is. You guys are blow buddies. You've known him for a long time. You've known him for a short time. He contacted you. You have professional respect. What is it, you know? You going to go to jail for this guy? Is he like your brother? Or your uncle? Or your dad? And you, Gates, you got a family. This guy Gates has a family. You got a wife. You got kids. What do you owe this fucking piece of shit? I mean, what, you know, that's what they're going to say. And now we have that other kid, that fucking Papalopoulos or whatever the hell his name is. Who knows what he knows? He's a volunteer, but he was with the campaign for a year and was in contact with Ruskies. How that happened, I have no idea. Who gave him the go-ahead to make that contact? What is that about, you know? Because they talk about him like he's a gopher, like he was a coffee boy. You have the coffee boys calling Russia? Come on. I mean, he might have been doing it of his own volition, which case, you know, they got a point, like Sanders said. Hey, we didn't ask him to do this shit. We held him at arm's length. That's not what the emails say. Before Monday, I thought that it was, I never said this to you guys, but I thought they were fucking climbing a steep hill here, man. You ain't gonna impeach this guy. And what the fuck? I never really thought they had anything. Now, the Manafort thing was not a surprise. This other kid, a little bit of a surprise. You put that together with Donald Jr. And one thing I always said to you guys, this asshole has got Russian, every time you turn around, is a Russian. Well, what is that, you know? This whole thing, collusion, it's a whole witch hunt, and it's a fantasy. Well, maybe there's nothing there, but there sure as shit are a lot of Russians there, man. You can't deny that. Now, I put something on Twitter, I don't know, maybe a month ago, and I said, not that it was original, but I frankly, I hadn't really seen it anywhere, and it must have been, but I said, you got to separate pedestrian traffic from vehicular traffic when it comes to what happened in New York yesterday. People and cars can no longer be in the same vicinity. Pedestrians, I should say, excuse me. Pedestrians and cars no longer anywhere near each other. It's dangerous, and obviously it's rife with opportunity for a terrorist, because this is what they're doing now. And it's not a difficult thing to make happen either. Well, maybe it is, but you simply just ban vehicular traffic from areas where there's a lot of pedestrian traffic, and that would mean the downtown areas and inner city areas, etc., of major cities. Now, what do you do with the people that live there or people that need to get in there to work? How do you do that? You have to use some kind of a shuttle service or whatever mass transit that you already have that goes into those areas. I don't know. You can allow, you know, bicycle traffic. Let's see what we got here, man. I don't want to politicize the New York thing. I don't want to put it in political terms. I really don't. Like practical things, you know. You know, in a lot of ways, I think what I just said would make life more pleasant. Were you ban? Hold on. Excuse me. Fuck. Were you ban automobile traffic from certain areas of the city? You make life automatically more pleasant. I don't know about you, but I like it when I'm in an urban surroundings, wherever it is, and there's only pedestrian traffic. So I can, you see that a lot in, I was going to say London, Paris. When I visited Paris, I noticed that there were, and I'm not a world traveler like a lot of you guys, but I went to Paris once, and I was struck by the fact that, well, look at this, there's all kinds of areas to walk in where I hardly see anything, maybe a motorcycle every now and again. I don't know whether that's by design or just happenstance, but I would be walking along and suddenly we're in a whole section. I think I noticed it in the, is it the Saint-Germain part of Paris? Which is near, you know, Eiffel Tower is another sector down. What do they call those in France? The something. But it was great. It was fun. It was gave you an opportunity to look at things. You know, you could look up in the sky and walk in the middle of the street. You weren't going to get hit by a fucking car. You interacted with other human beings a little bit more, and it was more pleasant when you sat down and had something to eat. If you're outside in a cafe and all there are people walking as opposed to cars, it's a huge, huge difference, you know. And we could have that here in America. We could have that anywhere if we wanted to. Now, does that mean there's not going to be any terrorism? Of course not. Because now it means, because these guys will go anywhere and do anything to kill people, right? They want to strap a bomb to themselves and go into the middle of a town and, you know, they'll do it. They want to put a bomb in this, they'll go into a restaurant, they'll do it. I guess you just take away the weapons, you know, as they make themselves evident. Just take away their weapon. The weapon of these automobiles that they use as a murder instrument. Knives, guns, I don't know. You know. And people say, you can't, it's impossible to prohibit all this shit. And I get it. If someone is intent on killing someone, they'll do it, especially if they don't care what happens to themselves. So how do you attack that mentality, right? Why do you want to kill people and you want to kill them so much that you don't care what happens to you? What is, because they're infidels, because they're devils, and when I die, I'll fuck seven virgins. Oh, okay, so you're dumb. All right, I get it. So we have a lot of poverty, lack of education, resentment, you know? See, you know, you can avoid it as long as you want. You can pretend it doesn't exist. You can say things like, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, but at the end of the fucking day, you have this class, you know, distinction all over the world. And some of the people that don't have aren't about pull myself up by my fucking bootstraps and go out and do what, you know? You remember the guy in the Northern African country, I don't know where it was, Morocco perhaps, Libya perhaps, Tunisia, I think it might have been. They say it was the act that sparked the Arab Spring. It was the man who was in his late 20s who was selling vegetables now on the street. And I remember reading that and thinking, what American male in his late 20s would consider selling vegetables on a street corner every day of his fucking life to be some kind of a satisfactory career? Well, I'm not putting it down, but I am saying, at best, it's a stepping stone to something. You know, like I'm in school and I'm doing this, or I'm supporting my family in the short term. This man, this is what he did every day of his goddamn life. A man in his 20s, a man with his life in front of him, a man who, what kind of dreams do you have when you're a young man? The world is your oyster if you, you know, everything. And he's selling vegetables. He lives in another country, doesn't live in America. And what do? They tell him, no, you can't. You don't have the license for this, you don't have a license for that. They harass him, they harangue him, to the point where he can't take it any longer. And he sets fire to himself, you remember? And he runs down the street, this man in flames. I mean, it's the most horrifying scene you could imagine. And why did he do that? Because he'd had enough of this bureaucratic horseshit that kept him from even making a goddamn living as a vegetable salesman. Now, that's the kind of anger that is generated in a society that has such disparate income and class levels and strata. Now, in America, we aren't quite that stratified, I don't think. We don't have upwardly mobile men in their 20s. And what do we call that? Well, that's selling vegetables on a street. Jesus, I'm telling you, man. There's not a man in America in his late 20s that would, what would he do, would put up with that? You know, I can't even feed my family. I'm selling fucking vegetables on a street, and they're fucking with me. Now they're telling me that I can't. I don't have the right license. I don't have the right vendor's license. What the fuck are you talking about? Every goddamn day they're here bugging me about this. Well, I'm sorry. Pretty soon, you react to that bureaucracy the way that man did. Now, I'm not saying that that's a healthy way. I'm not saying that he was mentally stable, but I'll tell you, he'd had about enough. That's a cat that he can't even. They won't even let him sell vegetables. What fucking hassle is that to the powers that be, to the motherfuckers that ran that piece of shit country to begin with, right? Tunisia, is that it? What kind of a shithole is that to begin with? And they're even fucking with that guy. Well, you don't have enough money that you can't just leave that cat alone? That's when people get angry, right? And in America, I suppose, you know, it's not much different. We just have a different way of defining lower class as opposed to upper class. But don't ask me, man. I don't have the answers. I will tell you that people, no matter who they are, can only take so much, and then they act. Or maybe the word is they react. In other words, react means you're forced into an action. Act means you've premeditated an action. But to react is to be forced into an action that you would never really think to take, you know? I'm just trying to sell vegetables here. I'm just trying to whatever. And they're fucking with me morning, noon, and night. Now, the language of that is co-opted by the upper class. I'll give you an example. Scaramucci, this guy that was the communications director for Trump, was in the audience when Obama was president, and Obama was giving a talk to a variety of people, and then he took questions and answers. And this man, Scaramucci, you remember him? He was in the audience. He's a Wall Street guy. And he says, Mr. President, we're being ripped off. I mean, come on. All of a sudden, you know, here we are out trying to make a dollar on Wall Street, and you're laying into us with all kinds of regulations and all kinds of restrictions as a result of 2008, right? And we can't make a dollar. And Obama came back at him. And this guy was using the language of the oppressed. He was using this language of the lower class. Meaning, I don't know how much more of this I can take. This motherfucker's wearing a $3,000 suit. That's America. Obama comes back and says, you work on Wall Street? He says, yeah. You guys had record-breaking bonuses last year in the billions. See, it's one thing to say, here's how much I make. And that's another thing to say, well, I was bonused. Uh-huh. There was a bonus. And he says, here's how much Wall Street paid out in bonuses last year. Now, I got to tell you, I don't dislike Mr. Scaramucci. I think he's probably of all the people that ever worked for Trump, he's got more of a sense of humor than a lot of them. He may be a perfectly great guy, but the point I'm trying to make is, you know, that shit only plays so much. You're having such a hard fucking time, man, because your tax, you know, bracket is so fucked up, and your corporate thing, and you're only making $85 million a year when you ought to be making like $150 million a year, and you know, Jesus, you know, it's just terrible. And you really ought to get your head out of your ass and take a look at what's happening in this fucking country and in this world. And all you can think about is how you're getting fucked for your 30% corporate rate or whatever it is that's going on. Now, I understand corporate tax because I have a company and I pay a corporate tax. So I get it. I also understand one thing. This is really about making money. It is. It's about making money. If you're bitching about the corporate rate, you gotta get up off your fucking ass and make more money. I pay the same goddamn rate everybody pays, you know? And I'm in California. Taxes can always be a lot. But if you're looking, man, to cut your fucking, you know, overhead, whatever, taxes and salary and expenses, if this is what you're doing to show a profit, you know, it ain't gonna play that much longer. All right. Time now to cut this shit and get to it, man. Look at this, man. What's this, 10:30? Yeah. This is Michael. What is this, man? I'm just looking for my, what do we have, man? There we go, Michael. 10:30, is that the week we're in? Yeah. All right, dude. Let me see what we got here, bro.
Now playing. Got to be free. Target USA.
Security podcast.
The most pressing national security concern is international terrorism on our soil.
Is that
an exclusive interview?
Is that it,
with
honey?
Rod Rosenstein, Deputy Attorney General at the U.S. Justice Department.
We have 115,000 employees and tens of thousands of contractors.
Thanks. That's Rod Rosenstein, huh? Am I ready? Oh. All right, where are we at? Download folder. There we go. Target USA Rose. Is that it?